This session is for June the 10th, a Friday night Shatter live broadcast. Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, the series that we've been doing. Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. Here's what we've written: demonic influence, addictions, hellbound defiance, and biblical prophecy. Let me go over those four areas. Demonic influence, there's no question. On the fallen angel side of things, Genesis 6, on the, the demonized tribes of the Old Testament, the sex rituals and so forth. When you look at old occultism, when you look at Aleister Crowley, when you look at Satanism and the rituals, sex rituals that are done, so there is clearly demonic influence. But I want to say that in that influence, there is also the influence where they just simply tempt humanity. You think you've been tempted to lie, tempted to cheat, tempted to steal. Well, please understand, the dark side can tempt in this area. I believe that that many have come into my offices over the years in counsel where there's been adultery, where there's been sexual failure prior to marriage, where there's been perversion issues. And I'm going to say this, that there's been quite a few over the years that have been gay or homosexual that have also said that part of it was the temptation, the curiosity, the sexual arousal issue. Demons know all about it. They're all about, just like the demonic seduction to get into any level of demonic doctrine, experience, engagement. So this area is also manipulated by the dark side. Demonic influence is a big issue because in the ramping up of the dark side, that's biblical prophecy. That's about the end of days. And if you see the rise of demonic manifestation and that activity, please understand the rise of sexual demonic influence, temptation, has been on the rise also. And there's no doubt that by the providence of God, there are those listening, you're going to realize that it was an outside influence that may have led you. Now, this can happen in a number of ways. Let me just mention quickly, somebody else that is demonized that is looking for prey, looking for someone to, you know, have sex with or to, on a broader scale, there are those that that are demonized, and they would literally look for someone to rape if they can't manipulate it. So the demonic in some individuals would be driving them to the point where they need to have and seek. I have no question in the area of sexual predators, child sexual predators, and specifically in serial rapists, murderers, that there's definitely demonic possession. We have dealt with, there's a big church in our area, all of a sudden one of the interns were accused of sexually touching and messing with a child. It became a newspaper thing, and the guy ended up in our offices where one of our teams ministered to him. In the context, both pastor and other workers, including female workers, were in the room. Demonic manifestation occurred, and the most ugly, lewd, unclean, things said and gestures and so forth were made. They had to, you know, shut down the demonic manifestation and command it out of that person. That person was hired, and they were around children, and their impulse to commit sexual predatory, you know, activities was just absolutely overwhelming, and they did it. And so there are those that will do that. There are those that, on an emotional level, they're lonely. They think that the feelings of sex will bring them, fill that void. And of course, afterwards, the shame. And that's how it is in the context of adultery and premarital sex and many other areas. The guilt. There are those that will just get angry about the guilt issue and blame everybody else and justify their actions in defiance towards any conviction, any guilt, anything wrong, so they can continue their actions and then justify their actions. Now, if you read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down, not only does fallen humanity suppress the truth of God by their wickedness, by the actual practice of sin and deep sin, that spiral, you know, that spiraling down effect, the deeper into the sin nature, the deeper into sin we get, the stronger sin becomes. The more we begin to commit specific sins, the more we're bound into committing more, deeper ones and broader ones, to the point that we exchange the natural use sexually for unnatural ones. You read about it, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. And then it says towards the end, there can be a change in our personality, our disposition, and our drivenness and everything. And that we can either then begin to applaud those who do the same sins. And so you begin to see sin addictions become hell-bound defiance. And the concern there is that when there are deep sexual addictions that are actually perversions, and a person is out of control, and when they don't want to give it up, when they want to justify their actions, justify. And again, a lot of this is, it's across the board, but a lot of it is seen publicly in the gay community, where anybody that says they're wrong is blamed. Anybody that doesn't agree with them is attacked. All the while, they don't understand, biologically, physiologically, the parts don't fit. It is abnormal on a biological, physiological level and on a procreative level. So it doesn't make any difference how much you try to justify a clear, unnatural act. The deeper the unnatural act and practice, sometimes the deeper the self-justification and defiance. Now, this is clearly seen in the end of the book of Revelation again, a number of times, where it is said that humanity will not repent of their sexual immorality, that sexual decadence, addictive sexual decadence. I mean, in the light of the end of the world, the light of the judgment of God, the light of Antichrist being on the field, it is said in the future that there will be those that become defiant and will not in any way repent of things they've done. So that's what I think's vital to understand, is that sexual addictions and the deeper into that sin nature, and with demonic attachment and influence, if not possession in some cases, well, let me tell you something. There is then clearly the issue of addictiveness, where some folks just can't stop, especially in demonization. And then that hellbound, why I call it hellbound defiance? Because that may be a key factor in keeping a person from turning to God. In defiance, as a matter of fact, it says they would not repent of their sexual decadence, you know, their immoralities, their worship of demons, and the pharmakon. So a demonic connection to the drug use, direct worship of demonic presence, and sexual decadence become kind of like the unholy trinity of being bound, having these addictions. By God's providence, there's probably some of you listening that you know you have these addictions. And I'm bringing you the warning of God by grace, by mercy. God wants to release you. God wants to free you. If you've ever read 700 years before Jesus came in Isaiah, it said that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would be upon Messiah, the Savior. He would be there to empower Jesus, the Messiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, you know, he'll quote this in the Gospel of Luke. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to do what? Preach good news. God has come to love you, to save you, to release you, to free you, to set captives free, to release the prisoners, to open the eyes of the blind. Now, that is the ministry of Jesus. That is what he's come to do. And I will, you know, even right now as you're listening, whether you listen at some point live to these or by the archives all around the world, I ask that Jesus Christ will engage you, the listener, with his mercy, with his grace, with his power, with his love. The Spirit of God would summon you, if you don't know Christ, to turn to Jesus. He not only can forgive you totally, but absolutely free you, and then restore your life. Demonic influence, addictions, and hell-bound defiance in the future. It's talked about in biblical prophecy. So Christians and Christian teachers and preachers, well, we should be talking about this. It is clearly obvious that it has a lot to do with bringing down Israel at times in the Old Testament. Has a lot to do with the New Testament seven churches there in the book of Revelation. You know, where Jezebel was with occult demonic doctrine and demonized sexual decadent ritual practices that were going on. Jesus had to deal with it because the local church wouldn't. And he didn't want to tolerate that bondage. It is a bondage that can lead straight to hell, my friend. It really is, you know, one of many. Jesus Christ, though, on the cross, conquering sin, conquering addictions. You've got to understand, he conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered separation from God. He conquered Satan's rights. He conquered death's rights. He conquered sin addictions. I mean, when they become slavery. Read about it, Romans 6. To whomsoever you obey, you will become a slave. If you obey the fallen nature, the sin nature, the sarx, that nature in us that is the law of sin and death. Romans 8, the law of sin and death that leads you to be addicted, to be committed to sin issues. But the more you give yourself, the more you obey that nature, the more you'll become a slave, literally an addict to certain sin practices. So that is what we're dealing with. But I want you to know today there's enormous news, enormous great news. Forgiveness, freedom, healing, restoration, and staying free are all found in Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, a Savior that loves you. May He, by the power of the Spirit of God, grip your life. If you're not a believer in Jesus, I simply give you the invitation. The summons of God is for you to repent. Turn around, turn to the living Christ, believe on Him, receive Him as Lord and Savior. All of His love, forgiveness, power, and healing and restoration, well, His abilities can come into your life to change everything. So I pray that you turn to Jesus if you're not saved. And let me say this, if you have gotten saved, listen to the broadcast, turning to Jesus Christ, let me know about it because we have discipleship material that can help you. Go to the main site. If you're listening from Preemption Broadcast, go to the main site, shatterthedarkness.net. Left-hand side, you're going to see, you'll see where there's a blaze for God. Those are shorter biblical devotions for daily devotions. There's dynamic discipleship that helps you. How do you know what it means to be saved? How do you know when you're saved? How do you know what happens at salvation? How do you know how to worship God, how to walk with God, how to get into the Word of God, and on and on and on. So there's a bunch of training, and there's scripture memorization. So I hope that you'll get that. If you're a believer in Christ, yes, we ask you to remember us in prayer. And if you're enabled, because we have we don't buy commercials and things like that, or you know those kind of things to fuel everything. So just simply, if you're interested in support, investment, take a look at the website where it says support. Click on that. We can use your help. That's all we've got to say about that. Today, breaking free from hell-bound addictions. Sin is very powerful. Matter of fact, it's the sin nature that has come in that has... it is the law of sin and death. It is the operating presence, the sarx, that fallen nature. It's like a code. It is in your DNA. It is in your genetics. It is in your being. And how far you give into it is some people give into it really deeply. Others, you know, not so much. I mean, there are things I've never done. I've never robbed a bank. But again, those are sins in particular, not just the sin nature. What you and I need to understand, in the fall of the human race, we acquired the sin nature. Separated from God, We are bound in that nature. It's fixed. And unless there's something that breaks it, it's inseparably connected to the death code. The wages of sin is death. If you read, if you want to, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, 15, Satan has this kind of psychological or spiritual power over the issue of death when we don't know Christ. But you'll read there the good news, the reason, you know, Jesus comes, that God shares in humanity, is to destroy him who holds the power over death, that is the devil. So we've got to understand what Jesus did at the cross blasts apart all of these, the depths of Satan's temptations and works and rites, sins in particular, the sin nature, and sins as we get addicted to certain things. And we need to realize the spiritual blindedness. Well, Jesus has come to change all that. Truly, you got to understand something. At the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So at the cross, there he is dying, giving his life as a substitute. You ever read this in 1 John chapter 2? Now, as a believer in Christ, if you're already saved, you're born of the Spirit of God, and you know the Lord, we are told in our discipleship in the Scriptures to grow into the depth of that salvation. Romans 6 tells us very clearly we've been set free from the sin nature. We've died to sin. Matter of fact, God says, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. That's the position you're in. Body, soul, and spirit. All the way down to your genetics, everything about you. Dead to the power and control of sin and Satan, and alive to God. Count yourself that way because in Christ you are. And Romans 8 will tell you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, and this means permanently, set you free from the law of sin and death. If you're a believer, check it out, Romans 6. No sin. Sin shall not be your master. Don't give it any excuses. Sin has kind of a reasoning power, and of course the demons do. You're too weak. You can't overcome this. You're always bound to it. On and on and on and on. Declare them liars. Don't listen to the sin nature or the demonic. They speak the same language. Listen to Jesus Christ. Listen to the Word of God. If you read Romans 8, you're going to see very clearly as a believer that you have been set free. And you read Romans 6, you have been set free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the sin nature, it says in Galatians. Now you have the power of the Spirit of God. So part of that is yieldedness, appropriating the truths of God in your life, realizing the foundation, the power, the dynamic power of that new life you have in Christ. That's vital. Well, today we want to jump into this issue because on all kinds of levels, we're not just talking about hedonism, club med, you know, go out and have sex with anybody you want to. Sexually transmitted diseases are taking out a lot of folks, you know. AIDS is taking out a lot of folks, you know. And the emotional scarring, the relationship destroying issues when the gift of God is used in a decadent, perverted way. Please understand again, we begin with this week that God created sex to be good, great, fun, blessing, a pleasure, a delight, awesome, and procreation is included, which is sacred. So if we understand God's, you know, gift of it, then we understand, you know, that's where we can be with it. But it's only part of our life and not the centrality. You can live without sex. There's some people think, I can't live without sex. Yeah, yes, you can. You're not going to die if you don't. I mean, if you don't have water, yeah, you can die by not having water. Water's more important to you. You must have water to live. That's not true about sex. You know, you can go all your life without sex. You can go the rest of your life without sex. Please don't make, again, the devil is a liar. The old sin nature is a liar. Now, it doesn't mean that you can negate, I mean, the desire, the physiological, biological, I mean, we've got desire. And we're told simply in the book of 1 Thessalonians 4 that we're not to deny the passion or the desire. It's there. The sexual desire is there. Sexual arousal works. It's physiological. It really is. But both for men and women, in a little bit different approach, but both the same way. And you can't deny it. It just simply says that you're to control it in a way, you know, that honors the Lord. You're not to use it in a way that will wrong other people and wrong yourself and sin and harm yourself. So this is a vital issue. The Christians in Corinth had the subject because the Temple of Delphi, the prostitutes, male and female, the decadent sexual culture. So you might be living in a sexually decadent culture. I want to address the fact, number one, sex is a good thing. It's created by God. He knows all about it. He's not ashamed of it. It's not embarrassing. It's what God has made. On the one hand. And then on the other hand, it's got perimeters. The perimeters are there because of sin and Satan. How sin will distort and exploit and use, and how Satan will exploit and use and dirty this area. So that's all. It's the same as far as making money. I'm not going to go out and sell methamphetamines to make money and destroy other people's lives. I'm not going to go rob a bank to get money. So the same thing in the area of sexual realm. You drive down the road. We are doing traveling to Connecticut. We are also doing traveling down to Nashville. Some of the roads are 70 miles an hour. You can go 70 miles an hour. There's people that go 90. But the important thing is, the law wants you to stay within the perimeters of that speed. But you know what's vital? Staying on your side of the road. I mean, it's that simple. Physiologically, and because of the danger, you're driving down the road. There's semis, actually 4 to 5 feet away from you. As you're going down the road, they're coming the other way on the other side. There's a yellow line in the middle, and you stay on your side, they stay on their side, and everything works out all right. You go down the road freely and you travel and you get to your place and destination. But if you're driving and you're weaving back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, guess what's going to... The potential is you're going to run straight on into a semi and be destroyed and destroy others and destroy many. Maybe it's a bus and you kill a bunch of kids. So we understand that we stay on that side of the line. God also says when it comes to sexuality, stay on this side of the line. There's freedom, there's blessing, there's all of what it entails on this side. Don't cross that line because, it will eventually create massive disaster. So God says no because it's outside of his created order, because it's involving sin and Satan and corruption and destruction. And so God says no. Now the problem is we have sinned. We've sinned in plurality. We have demonic influence like never before in human history among us. And we have sexual decadence that's destroying lives. And the future shows us that sexual perverted addictive decadence will be part of the reasons that people won't turn to God, that they're so bound they will go to hell before they would turn to God in giving up the sin of it all. Sin does darken us. The deeper, the longer, the broader, the more arrogant we get into it. Not that Jesus Christ and the Word of God won't bring conviction. Thank God for conviction. Thank God for the light of the Spirit of God coming upon us to convict us. Thank God Jesus said the Spirit would go into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit of God might be convicting some of you right now because of the sin issue. Not believing on Christ, and the Spirit of God moving you that way and you're not yielded yet, the sin of your life. Righteousness, because Christ was perfect and you're not. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God is what the Bible says. And then judgment. There is a day of judgment. We're already lost. We're already hellbound. We're already separate from God. We already have the death code. Judgment is coming. Well, we're already there. God, in sending Christ, has come to get us out of what we've got ourselves into. Without him, we could be lost forever. But there's great news again. I want to bring this out. Great news. Then when we talk about forgiveness, freedom, healing, restoration, staying free. And after that, I'm going to talk about how you can be a part of fighting the sexually decadent culture, saving lives through evangelism, evangelizing those involved in sexual human trafficking, prostitutes, male and female, and all across the board. There are those that are so into things, they're addicted. And again, on a criminal level, on a, well, I'm making money level, or I'm feeling, you know, feeling good by what? By exploitation? Well, let's talk about what Jesus did. And he engaged this in the story of the woman caught in adultery that was thrown down to the ground in front of him, basically. She's down there. And, he, you know, the guys with the stones are ready to tear her up and kill her right on the spot. Jesus is riding the ground. And Jesus simply blows these self-righteous religious people out of the ground by saying, you know, the first among you who have never sinned, I mean, the one among you who have never sinned, you can throw the first stone. They all dropped those stones. I've always imagined hearing those stones thud hitting the ground as these sinners walked away. See, self-righteous religious has nothing to do with, you know, real Christianity. Real Christianity says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that Jesus Christ, that he is the atoning sacrifice for the whole world, not just for us. At the cross, he is the sin bearer of the sum total of all the sin of all humanity, past, present, and any future. He's done that at the cross. Vital to look there as we go through this. And again, if you're not only, you know, listen, there are those that concern themselves with forgiveness because of guilt. But you've got to understand that I'm saying that forgiveness and freedom specifically, but forgiveness, freedom, healing, restoration, staying free is all part of the same work of Christ. Jesus came to set the captives free, to preach the good news, to open the eyes of the blind, to release prisoners. You can go to the Gospel of Mark and you can go to the rest of the Gospels and you can see how Jesus was doing this one right after another. Now, I've been in ministry 35 years. I have seen every bikers and businessmen and wealthy and poor and street people and people that live in million-dollar homes. I've seen athletes. I've seen, you know, Satanists and Wiccans and I've seen gay and homosexual. I've seen folks from all kinds of lifestyles, sin addictions. I've seen them in the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love of God for them, repent, turn around to God, and believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and receive Christ and his power and his might in their lives, and be free. The truth is, the untold story, gay activists don't want anybody to know this. A matter of fact, they love to rip to shreds anybody like this. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of ex-gays and lesbians and homosexuals out there. There are literally just so many that got tired of the guilt, the lifestyle, the dysfunction, the destruction. There are those that have turned to Christ, found the power of God. The depth of the sin nature and the power of that addiction was broken. They've learned of to be forgiven, freed, healed, restored, stay free. I mean, I got folks that I know that are married, got kids. They're living their lives for years and years and years and years and years now. They've never gone back to the once addictive, consistent, homosexual, gay lifestyles. Now, we can apply this to necrophilia, bestiality. We can apply this across the board to anything on the sexually decadent issue. And there's an urgency right now because I believe with the deeper, broader satanic manifestation in the world will come deeper addictions to this, what could be a hell-bound, defiant sexual decadence. I guess I want to enter in what Jesus said. What would it profit a person if they gain the whole world but lose their own soul? Gain some kind of addictive sexual nature justifying your life but yet lose your soul. I've watched again over the years, again and again and again, people coming out of these addictions, out of guilt, out of sin guilt, out of adultery, out of fornication, out of all kinds of things, even those that abused others sexually. where they've repented, turned completely, received the forgiveness and the love and the grace and the mercy and the freedom and the restoration and the healing that come from Jesus Christ, and lived free permanently from all of it. There is no sin or sin addiction bigger than the power of the grace of Christ. Romans 6, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And where there's deserving judgment on perpetrators and perverts. Let me tell you and warn you now, though. James 5, it says, God's mercy triumphs over judgment. God would rather forgive you. God would rather forgive you, but it involves your confession, renunciation, forsaking, repenting, turning away from, perpetrating predatory-oriented sexual decadence. Turning your life over to Jesus Christ is the way out. And turning your life over to Jesus Christ is a way out of sins, decadence, addictions, and so forth, but there's so much more. Forgiveness and freedom are the ground level for building a whole new life. When Jesus Christ comes in, he raises everything. The sin nature is rendered powerless. Satan's chains are broken, and forgiveness is utterly released from within. God totally justifies you, Romans 5, as if you've never sinned. You are declared righteous, justified by the blood of Jesus, by what he's done for you. Can't get that on your own. You can't get, you know, listen, there are those who say, well, I just quit sinning. Really? By just quitting. I used to do meth, sell meth. I got out of it. I no longer do it, so I'm okay. Are you? That's not salvation. You did the right thing. You got rid of an area of sin and danger and criminality, by the way. But what about forgiveness? What about Christ in you? What about the sin nature inside? What about lostness? You need all of this, my friend. And so, if you've been listening to the live broadcasts on the web, even if you go to the archives under Sexual Decadence and Native Man 2011, you will find the 5-day series. You will also find a link to the audio overview for the week and PDF file, a PDF file notes with outline notes. I'm on page 6, and I'm starting on B right now. Breaking free from hellbound addictions. I have great joy and a great compelling by God to tell you that Jesus Christ has come willfully, joyfully, wonderfully, purposely to forgive, to free, to heal, to restore, to give a new life. That's why he's come. He's come as Romans or as 1 John 3:8 says, to destroy the devil's works, right? But he's also come to bring forgiveness. That's God wants this. God willed this. There is this what we read in Hebrews 12. I don't know if you ever read this. It tells us that when in referring to Christ going to the cross, it says this: who for the joy set before him endured. You know, he scorned the shame of the cross. He endured the cross, and he scorned its shame. I mean, he just literally fluffed it off, basically. By going to the cross, he did a righteous thing. Sinless Savior did what he came to do. And what that did was provide salvation for the totality of humanity, past, present, and future. Jesus is the sin bearer. I wish I could have been there 2,000 years ago to hear John the Baptist. The moment he saw Jesus Christ walking there by the water, he all of a sudden screamed out and cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And then John baptized him. That was the announcing of Messiah's ministry. The Spirit of God came down on him in an unlimited, you know, John saw like a dove, and that's that fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy 700 years prior. That fulfillment, which is awesome in itself, and the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord coming upon Jesus to do what? Preach the good news. Look at Mark's Gospel chapter 1. That's the immediate thing he began to do. That's what I'm doing to you. Preaching the good news. God loves you. Christ died for you. Right now you can be saved, and you need to be saved. You're lost without Christ. And if you reject him, what do you have? Your sin, Satan's rights, and hell's ultimate rights. In Christ, joyfully, wonderfully willed by God. He didn't come just to clean up a mess. This isn't God coming in with a growling face, I got to clean up this mess. This is the love, the joy, the presence, the power, the passion, the delight of God to come. God delights in saving people. You read in the Gospels where when one human being repents, Jesus, reveals this. All of heaven rejoices. There's a great rejoicing in heaven when one human being. So if you turn to Christ right now, you're not saved. You turn to Christ and get saved right now. That's a burst of a release of joy and gladness in heaven. That can only give a partial description of God Himself in the great joy, the great delight. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, it says in the book of Ezekiel. In praying for the lost, read about it in Timothy chapter 2. In praying for all the lost to be saved, it says this, Christian. This is good and pleases, Greek word, emotional delight. This pleases God our Savior, who wills all mankind to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So laying that foundation, let me tell you what happens. What Jesus provided the cross and what happens at the moment of forgiveness, or the moment of salvation rather, the moment someone receives Jesus Christ into their life, whether you're convicted deeply of your sin, plurality of sins and addictions, or you're coming wounded, or however it may be, please understand, that doorway, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So there's that clear, definitive, defined, awesome door that God has opened, Christ. This is how you come. This is where the Spirit of God summons you to. This is what God is doing in the world, whether in you in China that download and listen, or you in Russia that download and listen. I can name 90 other countries where these messages are being downloaded, wherever you're listening. If you're a believer there, then praise God and go out and lead others to Christ. It is the number one agenda of God in Christ, even in the end of days. Well, especially in the end of days, one of the reasons Christ hasn't returned yet is for the salvation of souls. That's talked about in biblical prophecy. You want to know where? 2 Peter chapter 3. Check it out later on. Mark it down. 2 Peter chapter 3. One of the reasons Christ has not returned yet, well, that more people will get saved. Now, let's get down to the breaking free from hellbound addictions. It doesn't make any difference. Some people look at cigarettes as, there's nicotine. There's a physiological and an emotional addiction. When it comes to alcohol, there can be a emotional, spiritual, and physiological addiction. When it comes to sexual addiction and perversion and so forth, there can also be this physiological arousal pleasure side. The physical side and so forth, let alone just the sin, the idea of, sinning. In Christ, here's what he's come to do. Here's what God wills delightfully, joyfully, with power to do. Number one, total forgiveness. When anybody receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, by His death and burial and resurrection, by the blood, His blood that was shed, by what He did there, instantly, God forgives you, makes you as white as snow, washes your body. So, you're totally washed, totally cleansed, totally. To those who are believers who've fallen into sin, 1 John 1:9, if you confess homologos, if you agree with God that it's sin, you should. Don't hide, don't run, don't bury it. Then He is faithful and just to forgive you the sin and, listen, and to cleanse. The word means to purify. The moment you get saved by the activity of the Spirit of God applying the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus in you and on you, absolute, total forgiveness, God makes you as white as snow, as pure as the blood of Christ can make you. and that's total. And that's why God's able, Romans 5, to declare you justified. A term that, well, in the simplest of theological explanation, just as if you had never sinned. Justified. God declares you have peace with God and you're justified. You stand the moment of salvation, not 5 days later, not 5 years later. You still are as a saved individual. But at the moment, that breathtaking concurrent moment you receive Christ, his presence entering into you brings the work, which means that there's an actual cleansing. Now, I would encourage you to mark down 1 John chapters 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Jesus Christ is the halosmos, is the Greek word, only used a couple times in New Testament scripture. Propitiation, expiation, some have translated it, atoning sacrifice. The idea that God in Christ, as Jesus is the halosmos, has lifted up your sin and removed it, along with removing the wrath of God over that sin, there's now no barrier. He is the halosmos for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. If you're listening and you think you have a particular gross sin that nobody else has done, that it's outside the blood of Christ, that's Satan's lie, sin's lie. Throw it to the ground. Turn yourself over to Jesus Christ and receive him. Let him joyfully, powerfully, wonderfully, lovingly come into your life and give you instantaneous, absolute forgiveness, washing body, soul, and spirit, making you as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, you want it white as snow? Jesus, Savior, Forgiver, that's what it's all about, forgiveness. But please understand that as he forgives all your sin, Christ coming in is inseparably linked to total freedom. Now, Romans chapter 6 spells this out clearly. The moment you accepted Christ, he not only absolutely forgave you, all the barriers gone between you and God, but he absolutely, at the core of your being, I don't care if you think DNA, genetics, whatever you want to, at the core of your being, the core of your will, the core of your, well, the Greek word kardia, heart, the mind, the will, the emotions, the core of your being, at the very core, you've been set free from the law of sin, from the rule of sin, from the sin nature. Romans 6 is very clear where it constantly tells you, in the Greek it's in the aorist tense, meaning point blank, once and for all, done. The moment you receive Christ, you've been set free from sin. Again and again and again, Romans 6 will tell you, you've been set free, you've died to sin, you're dead to sin, it's over. It'll tell you by example, Christ died for sin only once. He's not going to the cross again and again and again and again. He went once. And when you receive Jesus Christ, forgiveness and his power to free you, render powerless, sever the right, the authority, the working of the sin nature as an operating law in your life, well, he set you free from that. And Romans 6 explains that you're not only so set free, you need to count yourself dead and free to sin and alive to God. It's both. God says that we're to appropriate, to reckon, to stand up and say, you know what? Look at the word of God says. In Christ, he's my Savior. I'm born again in the Spirit of God. Therefore, as God says, I have been set free from all sin and sin nature. It's been rendered powerless. I am dead to sin and alive to God. And you read the rest of Romans 6 and you'll see, sin shall not be your master. Go ahead and say it. No sin needs to be your master. It has no right unless you give it. Only if you obey the old nature, only if you get tempted and fall back into something, only then. And God tells us, since you're dead to sin and alive to God, offer the totality of your life and your body and everything, offer your whole being to God. In your development, in your growth, in your growing up in Christ, you'll find the full expression of freedom. You'll find yourself getting stronger and stronger and stronger in the purity and power and life-giving joy of righteousness. You'll find that in that growing in Christ and obeying the Word of God, healing of the past, restoration, new life, you grow up in your salvation. That is the development of restoration to the fullness of new life in Christ. Jesus says, the thief, Satan and sin, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life, zoe, qualitative life that comes from heaven. Jesus is that life. That they might have life and life abundantly. That's what he's come to give you. So at the moment of salvation, total forgiveness and total, at the core, freedom. So that you need to be able to stand up and say, I'm free from all, no excuses, I am free. As a matter of fact, Romans 8 makes it even clearer that through Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set you free from the old law of sin and death. You're either in Christ, in the Spirit, in the new nature, a dynamic nature, an empowered nature, with the ability to put to death sins. If you're really born again of the Spirit of God and the new nature dwells within you, you will be driven on the inside by God to put to death sin practices. Put them out of your life. Get rid of those destructive things. Amen? I hope you realize Jesus comes to forgive, break you free. Point number three, it involves immediate healing. You know, we're healed in our relationship. By his stripes, we have been healed. In Peter, it associates that with salvation, a relationship with God. That at the moment of salvation, our relationship with God is healed. God has come into our life. We're born again of the Spirit of life. You got to read Romans 8. You got to just read Romans 8 all the way through. At the moment you get saved, the Spirit of God comes into your life. He is the Spirit of adoption where you cry out intimately, Abba, Father, because God lives in you and God is your Father and God loves you and you're in a new standing. The Spirit of God is freedom inside of you. Matter of fact, God even contrasts it right there in Romans 8 and says, you've not been given the spirit of fear, you know, under bondage again. No, you've been liberated. As in a spiritual war, Christ coming in liberates you from the sin and the guilt and the punishment that would come, that would have come, hell itself. You're forgiven, released from the coming punishment of sin, the actual sin. You're freed from the sin nature, freed from any sin addictions, freed from any, you know, living in sin. And that brings an instant healing in your relationship with God and brings a healing from the inside out. I believe that when you receive Jesus Christ, who is Savior and healer and deliverer, that say you're coming out of prostitution, say you're coming out of sexual abuse, as you grow deeper in Christ, automatically there will be a deeper and broader healing occurring. The Spirit of God leading you in the, renunciation of things you've gotten into, of renunciation of where you've allowed things occurring, and also to sever the sexual abusers from your life, to hand them over to God. Yeah, you can do that. As bad as it was, as bad as they've done, as much as they've done, hand them over to God. Go ahead and forgive them. You have the power now to forgive them and hand them over to God. By you forgiving them, that's getting them and everything about them out of your life. They still have to be dealt with by God. If they don't repent, they're lost. God will deal with them, but release them. And hold yourself up in his sight. Let Jesus speak into you. Let him answer your questions. Pour into the Psalms. Just read the Psalms and read the Psalms and read the Psalms. I like sometimes looking into the future in Revelation 20 and 21, where in the end, when we see God face to face, he reaches out to wipe away the final tears. I've watched people in my offices when they've surrendered everything to Jesus, got all the forgiveness and all the freedom down, asking Jesus to bring the depths of healing within, then doing as the Holy Spirit leads them to release the perpetrators and to release the abusers, and then to ask Jesus to cleanse and heal their life and to what? Next step, inseparable though, restore. To lead you back to the right. Listen, it's one thing to get away from the sexual abusers. It's one thing to walk away from sexual decadent sins. It's one thing if you're a guy out there doing all kinds of, to know that you're guilty, you've been exploiting and been somewhat of a predator, to repent and quit. If you're, you know, in adultery, Jesus even told the woman where she was totally forgiven. He said, "Where are your accusers?" Well, there's none. Jesus, neither do I, you know, condemn you, but go leave your life of sin. You want to be filled with God, purity, healing, and grow into deep restoration. Don't just stop at getting free from sexual addiction. You got to move forward into, and again, as you obey all scripture, healing, deeper healing comes, deeper restoration. Obeying scripture leads you into the solidity, the development of the new life, a new life in Christ. And so from sexual decadence, coming to Jesus Christ, forgiveness, freedom, healing, restoration, ultimately out of recovery and into dynamic new life. You don't want to just sit in recovery the rest of your life. You don't want to just sit there saying, "Well, at least I'm, you know, free." It's like a prisoner that gets out of prison and stands by the prison, you know, bars for the next 10 years. What are you doing here? "Well, I've been set free. I'm not in that cage any longer." Well, yeah, you're on this side, but you haven't moved a foot forward. You're now allowed to walk away from the cage. You're now allowed to enter into the life that God has called us into. You're now called to grow up in your salvation and yield your life to Christ and grow in Him and become strong and staying free. I'd like to put a sixth point on these notes. Staying free means you don't have to go back. I'm going to tell you this right now. The devil's a liar. The old sin nature is a liar. The old sins and the old people that are still into those sin practices are all liars. When they all try to call you back, when you get into things in your life that are harming you, hurting you, and whatever else, and you feel, you know, like you're being tempted to go backwards, no, Jesus saved you to set you free and to keep you free, staying free. Jude, the little book of Jude, the beginning and the end, Jesus Christ is the keeper, keeping you in Christ, keeping you walking forward. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't walk away. If you have, it's time to repent. Get back. Because forgiveness, freedom, healing, restoration, staying free, and point six, growing into fullness. Point six, growing into fullness, into the full abundant life that involves bearing fruit, being able to do the things God wants you to do, being able to help others, being able to step out then and minister to others. If you've got the notes, you know that I got point C down there. That when you know you've been forgiven, freed, healed, restored, staying free, add on a point there, living in the fullness of Christ and growing stronger and stronger and stronger. Acts 9:22, I like to give folks, Acts 9:22. Well, the next is, you know what the next thing is? You know, you can step up and you can attack this world of sexual decadence, the growing addictions that will bring hell-bound defiance. You can step up and begin to, you know, well, I got 4 points. Fighting sexual decadence around you. You know, clear out your house, your old magazines, video. All the stuff needs to go, number one. Clearly, that's just normal. Get rid of all the junk. And what about fighting sexual abusers? You know, you and I have a right in society, and Jesus said, "You'll be the light of the world." You and I are allowed to take this new life in Christ and go and in our little neighborhoods and cities and so forth. You know, if you know that there's sexual abusers and prostitution and sex rings and whatever else, well, I think it's time to go fight all that and get the captives out of there. I know of ministries down on the streets of Hollywood down in there where they're going to get the girls that are, and boys being brought into runaways, but then brought into a life of sexual addiction. I mean, there's dancers that get given cocaine and meth and by the pimps so that they can again be used for prostitution and make them money. There's human trafficking worldwide. Can you imagine that? Being taken when you're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then from, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, all your whole life is being nothing but every day being used sexually, making the pimps, the predators money. You're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in South Asia, in Europe, in United States, everywhere. I mean, you do a little study on the web on human trafficking. You think in terms of satanic ritual abuse, and if there are really up to 100 million victims for generations, that means, I mean, one of the rituals is called marriage to the beast. 6 years old, they got to go through a ritual where the priest, supposedly indwelt by Satan or demons, whatever, that they have sexual relations with a little six-year-old to be married and demons transfer. You got to understand how deep and ugly and horrible this is. Demons can be transferred to a 5 or a 6 year old being raped, all in dedication to Satan, to be a bride of Satan. Really? Yeah, that's what's happening. So I think it's time to do something, to use our lives. I love again Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, "Who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice." There's a lot of things that can be done in your family life around you, your neighborhood. I mean, go to where the victims are. Go to where the wounded are. Go. Are we not to take Jesus Christ, the great Savior, healer, deliverer, the one that wants to forgive, wants to bring freedom, wants to heal, wants to deliver, wants to restore? Hey, by the way, some of you coming out of sexual decadence, you may have demonic attachment and need to renounce that and have others pray for you. You may need to say, "Jesus Christ, I renounce the practices. I renounce any demons grabbing hold of any level of my life. Deliver me from them." Or find believers that know how to use the authority of Christ. And if you have something so supernaturally overt, you don't know what to do. Right now, if you're listening, I ask and I pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I command any demon on any person listening, at any time listening, be broken, be commanded to get out of their life. I command you to get out. Leave them. Ek out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Release them now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Lord Jesus, deliver anyone at any time, anywhere listening from any demonic control in this area of sexual decadence. Release them. Whether transferred, received, whatever, release them. Dear friend, repent. Turn to Jesus. Ask Jesus to deliver you, cleanse you, wash you. He does. He'll restore you. He'll keep you free. In obedience, you'll stay free. You'll grow very powerfully and never want to go back. And then you'll be able to grow in fullness. Well, I'm saying that we need to fight that, you know, prior, as it was in the days of Noah. Go back to Genesis 6. That involved deep sexual decadence in those days. Prior to the flood. And so in the end of days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, you know, in the end. So the warning is, it's going to get worse in the sexual, decadent, perverted, addictive, hell-bound, defiant way. But no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're coming from, Jesus Christ sets you free if you turn to Him. Sexual purity is good. Sexual purity is right. Sexual freedom is found in Christ. And so I pray that God, by extraordinary presence of the Holy Spirit, of the blood of Jesus over you, and by extraordinary miracle, God, stretch out your hands, save individuals, heal individuals, deliver individuals, show your great power. If you've gotten saved, delivered, healed, listen, go to shatterthedarkness.net on the right-hand side. Scroll down a little bit. There's a contact. Send us an email. Let us know. If you're a believer in Christ, you believe in the benefit of this work, then listen, keep us in your prayers. Keep us in support. We love you. God bless you. Good night.